And in our hour of darkness, there's a fire right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom.
Welcome to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. As you can tell, Pete is not in a joking mood. I have to joke my way through these things. I've made myself a cocktail, but I made the mistake, Pete. I'm going to go ahead and put this all on me. I said in the last show, quote, "This is me happy."
Yeah,
we should have known back then that was not going to end well. To catch everybody up on this, we're recording this right now at about, it's actually 5 o'clock PM out here on the West Coast. And as things stand right now, the Lakers have gone from having a head coach, essentially, right? Last weekend, Ty Lue was eating a Lakers birthday cake. It just seemed like it was a matter of time. Though we did get to, you know, Monday, Tuesday-ish, and I sent Harrison a message on Slack, and I said, "Hey, I might be overthinking this, but like, what's actually taking so long here? Like, usually you would think you go to Vegas, you eat a Lakers birthday cake, you come back here, you sign the contract, right? And it's all taken care of." And Harrison said, "Oh no, you're overthinking things. You're overly pessimistic again." But it turns out the Lakers were trying to force on Ty Lue, Jason Kidd, and they lowballed him. The fuck?
Yeah. It's such a... So, as we're recording this, I'm processing it, both the information and my emotions. So this podcast in part is going to be like me trying to work through that. And I hope that the listeners have some sort of value in that. I'm a mix of like sad and angry, and it's not about Ty Lue necessarily, is that it's just another point in a larger story that really has nothing but discouraging returns to it, right? Like, so Phoenix hired Monty Williams last Friday, if I remember correctly. And at that point, it seemed pretty obvious. And like you said, there was the birthday cake and all of that. All signs were pointing, all of the reports were pointing to Lue being the next coach. He was the obvious choice. And from a running the team type of standpoint, these type of things are about leverage, right? And the Lakers, the moment Monty Williams signed with Phoenix, even if Lue was their guy, they lost leverage with him. Because I said this to Harrison in Slack over DM, I think 3 minutes before it was announced that Ty Lue was walking away, was, could you imagine if Ty Lue walks away from this right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just in terms of like an understanding of leverage and the position that the Lakers were in, the Lakers, according to Brad Turner, offered Ty Lue a 3-year, $18 million deal. Lue wanted 5 years, which is what Luke got, and which is fairly standard in the NBA to get a 5-year deal. It was the length of that is not coincidentally tied to the length of LeBron's contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it all goes back to, in terms of like, what the hell were they thinking? I think it goes back to that perception of, hey, we don't want it to look like LeBron's running the show. And if we're going to get LeBron's coach, he's just going to sync up with the length of LeBron's contract. It is such a foolish way to do what you're doing. And if the Lakers were not convinced about Lue, go friggin' interview more people.
Exactly.
Because where they're at right now with Lue walking away is, oh, now we're interested in Frank Vogel and Lionel Hollins and Mike Woodson. And no disrespect to any of those guys. I don't know enough about them. Like, Woodson and Hollins have been around for a long time. And, you know, I always worry with older coaches, like, are they going to be able to adapt to the modern NBA? But there's no disrespect to those guys. But like, when the Lakers hire their next coach,
he's going to be their third choice.
Yeah, man. What did they gain?
Well, and I want to go back to your point that you were making about the candidates, right? This is why process matters. This is why I get so annoyed by the poor process that the Lakers have been utilizing now for half of a decade, more than half of a decade.
Yeah.
If they actually put together a decent candidate search, a la the Dodgers before they hired Doc. But if they had done that, they could have gone to Lou and realistically told him, you know, this is what we're expecting. These are the candidates who are willing to do this. This is us being actually bought into these other potential candidates, right? But because they didn't do that, as soon as they go back and they try to leverage and they try to play hardball with Lou, he's just going to say, all right, fine, I'm out then. I don't need to do this. Who's your next guy?
Of course not. And especially with the Lakers. Now, one thing that the coaching community is very close.
Yes.
We've spoken about this before, and you know this, right?
They're so fucked.
The stories of – so, look, Luke did plenty to get himself fired.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories of what Luke had to deal with – Richard Jefferson tweeted about that. Like, I feel bad for Lou for – because, you know, Richard Jefferson's an Arizona guy and one of Luke's best friends. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Lou. I feel bad for LeBron. And this is what Luke had to deal with all last season.
Yep.
The stories about what Luke had to deal with last year have absolutely circulated amongst the coaching candidates in the coaching industry, with a lot of coaches. Again, this is a tight-knit group of people being like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Like, this is absolutely nonsense. So if you're going to lowball a guy and ask a guy to come to a place that has this type of instability and this type of reputation for fucking around with coaches, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Lou's still getting paid from Cleveland. This is another point of leverage, right? He signed a 5-year extension with Cleveland in 2016. He's got, I think, $15 million left on his deal. He's going to be all right. He's going to be able to pay his bills for the next couple of years. And say the Philly job comes open, that was reported as one option for him. But so he was in a position to be like, you know what? No, this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's what he did. And I don't blame him at all.
And look, this gets back to the idea of the Lakers' reputation right now. It has never been lower, right?
That's of course
not exactly groundbreaking analysis there. But the Lakers' reputation now among the coaching fraternity, among other teams, among players, right? Because the vice president of the players union is attached to this shit show too. There is not a single ally right now that the Lakers can lean on. Not a single one. And we're sitting, like, the premise of our last show when you and I thought that Lou was going to get hired was
right.
Bad process can sometimes yield positive results, right? But realistically speaking, this was always what the Lakers were capable of. I want to take a quick second here, collect ourselves a little bit, and then we're going to come back and I want to get back to the process of this, because this is what we were worried about when Pelinka was promoted. This is exactly the scenario we were worried about, and the Lakers are tripling down on those concerns. So I want to get to that here in a second.
Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring the right person for the job can be stressful. Just ask Jeannie Buss. Employers have to search through resume after resume, hoping one sets itself apart from the others for all the right reasons, and there's nothing worse than a resume giving the wrong first impression before you even get to meet the candidate. Now with ZipRecruiter, those days and worries are over. Head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon to see why. ZipRecruiter sends your job opening to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you don't miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Lakers, so Nick Wright's tweet, who is not in the business of breaking news, right? So I'm skeptical on this stuff, but the Lakers are in such a point of idiocy that it's hard not to believe everything that is going on, right? All of these leaks. But according to Nick Wright, he says that the Lakers, you know, the people who are actually in positions that can make these decisions, the Buss family, Rob Pelinka, they were on board with Ty Lue and meeting his demands, but it was the Rambuses, the Rambi, the Rambuses. At some point, we'll decide on these things. But But it was them who fought back and apparently stalled out these contract negotiations, right? And here's my question, Pete. It's a fairly simple one. Who the fuck are the Rambuses to make any of these calls? What the hell is I'm going insane. They don't have any ownership stake here at play. Rambus was unemployed for a good chunk of the last few years and was only brought on as an advisor. And now somehow, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he's playing a central role in the direction of the Lakers. What is going on? I'm insane.
Bro, it is this simple. It's not the answer I want to say or anyone wants to hear, but it is this simple. Linda Rambus is Jeannie Buss's best friend, and therefore Jeannie Buss trusts her. Kurt Rambus is Linda Rambus's husband. Therefore, Linda trusts him, and Jeannie trusts him implicitly with that, along with whatever relationship they have. But it is that simple. Jeannie trusts Linda because they've been friends for 30 years, 30 plus years. Linda trusts Kurt because they're married. I'm sorry, I don't have anything more complicated to that. That's part of what makes it so frustrating and scary going forward. It's not some complicated Game of Thrones type of shit where it's this weird, like, you know, power play with all of these things in motion. It's as simple as that. We have gotten down to the core issue of the Los Angeles Lakers, and that is Jeannie Buss.
So in Thrones and in fantasy, the idea of the reluctant leader is romanticized, right?
Right, right.
And the idea that, hey, yeah, Jon Snow was seen as the most promising potential ruler of I guess Westeros is whatever the universe is called, right? And that's a decent idea. It makes sense, right? Because that comes from a place of humility. But eventually that person has to make calls. Eventually, yes, that person has to actually make the decisions that their power warrants them to make. And in this case, all we're seeing time and time and time and time again is Jeannie Buss washing her hands of the decisions that she has to make. And in this case, if it is indeed the Rambuses who are given final word over the Lakers organization, this is her meeting her power with a whimper, meeting her power, her responsibility with, I'm not ready. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to piss off so-and-so. I don't want to. And so long as the Lakers
Anthony, real quick, let me interject. Do you mean, when you say that, do you mean she's doing that by like handing off power to Linda and Kurt? All right, cool. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, she's handing off her responsibilities because she doesn't want to. It's analysis or it's paralysis by analysis, right? She doesn't want to hurt feelings or whatever the reason is that she's doing this. She's finding herself at the. A place where a decision has to be made, a fork in the road, and time and time and time again, she's passing it off. She did it with Magic Johnson. She did it with Rob Pelinka. I'm still waiting for Jeannie Buss to make an actual decision beyond firing a brother who she didn't like, right?
Right.
And until that happens, the Lakers are screwed. They can't go anywhere with an owner who is reluctant to do anything herself.
That's absolutely correct. In terms of, you know, from Laker fan perspective, you know, God, is there just nothing to hope for the next few years? For me, I've said this before, but I'll go more into it now. The best case scenario for this summer was and remains Lakers sign Kawhi Leonard. They build out a good team. Rob Pelinka is competent at his job. And we live happily ever after trying to contend for a title, right, in the next year or two. For me, the second best scenario is the let it burn scenario, mm-hmm, because I am shocked that we're at this point. My biggest fear was that it was going to take 4 or 5 years to get to this, like, oh crap, like this is the core issue. We've identified the core issue with this franchise, and all of her bringing Magic in was one of those mistakes. Having Pelinka now, it's the same person who ultimately decides those things. And as you point out, she likes to pass off those responsibilities, but there's no running from it now. Back in 2013, 14, 15, when Jeannie sponsored hit pieces would be released on the eve of free agency to make Jim Buss look bad and to hurt the Lakers' chances in free agency. Laker fans applauded her, right? Because we all wanted Jim Buss out. He was the root of all of the franchise's issues. He was the successor to Jerry Buss, and he was not getting the job done. So we were willing to look past that. But think of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it now in retrospect. That is a person who is trying to accrue power for which she did not have the knowledge base to actually lead.
And it's apparently the Stones, by the way.
Right.
She was cool with getting that power, but she doesn't know what to do with it. And she doesn't want to do anything with it.
Right. Lead. I want her to lead. But the problem is that she, by all accounts, has never been interested in learning the basketball side of things. Yeah. That is always something she's said when you hear her in interviews time and time again. This isn't something that we're just speculating on. We've heard it from her. And so, for one, if you were going to vie and make maneuvers to become the leader of an NBA basketball franchise, you probably should have that sort of knowledge. And once you get there, you better damn well take that crash course. Mm-hmm. And what she's done instead is that she has put it in the hands of who she views as basketball people. Think of it from I'm not an NBA fan. Think of a sport that you don't watch, right? And if you were in a decision-making position, like, who would you consider to be basketball people, whatever that equivalent is in that sport, right? Oh, hey, Magic's one of the greatest players of all time. Yeah. He seems like and of course, Magic is a basketball person, but I mean an executive, a decision maker. Kurt Rambis, right?
I wouldn't know who to talk to for hockey. I'd find Wayne Gretzky.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, Wayne Gretzky is my new president of hockey operations, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe he's good at that job, maybe he's not. But as a casual hockey fan, that's like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. Get me Mario Lemieux or whatever, right? So that is the baseline for where Jeannie's coming from, at least I believe, especially with us telling us time and time again that she does not have the underlying understanding. So of course you're going to be like, well, I don't know about that. What do you do when you take your car into the mechanic? Like, I know very little about cars. My mechanic tells me stuff. I'm prone to be a sucker, right?
Yeah.
The one thing I know is, hey, you know, he says this is going to be $1,700 to fix. I'm going to get a second opinion on it.
Yeah.
But I'm basically at that mechanic's mercy.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the position that Jeannie Buss finds herself in.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, we're just going to keep on ranting because there's nothing else we're left to do. There's nothing. We had optimism, and that optimism has now been trampled on, spat on, pissed on, and then thrown back in our face. So we're going to come back and try to wipe some of that crap off of our face. You want to know the last thing Kurt Rambis was in the headlines for before he made his way
following at Great Ass Daily? I think that was the account.
Oh, man.
I mean, so, you know, nothing against a man's, you know,
no
preferences. Hey, you know, do your thing and just have some goddamn common sense.
But that's the last thing that anybody knows about him in a professional setting in the NBA was Great Asses Daily. So is that what he leads these interviews with? All right, guys, turn around.
Hey, man, the Lakers are currently run by Great Asses, Daily.
Maybe it turns out that Ty Lue showed up out of shape for his interview. And
got to have that body fat down.
Yeah,
remember body fat percentage. You remember that bullshit?
We just saw an Avengers Endgame, right? Cap said, like, that is America's ass. Rambis is looking for his Captain America. Right, that's the next head coach of the Lakers is going to have America's ass. I'm trying to find any reason whatsoever to be optimistic, any whatsoever, right? And other than the doomsday scenario where everybody is just such unbelievable failures that the partners and other Buss siblings pressure Jeannie Buss into stepping down from her position, right? That's the only scenario here. But even there, in order for that to happen, Jeannie has to herself vote herself off of the board, right? Somebody who went through everything to attain all this power probably isn't going to be interested in doing that 5 years after the fact. So I'm a little nervous about that. I think one conversation we should probably have at some point, right, is, are the Lakers broke? Is the financial backing of the Lakers not where we thought it was? Because a team that lowballs Ty Lue, right? So let's say Ty Lue wanted a 5-year deal for, I don't know, $20 million or $21 million, whatever it was. And the Lakers offered him 3 years, 18, right? And Lou wouldn't move off of the 5-year thing, and the Lakers say, okay, well, we have enough resources that we could just offer up a 3-year, $30 million deal just to make you happy and keep you here or whatever. You could at least do that, but if the Lakers don't have the resources to do that, then they're just completely screwed.
But even if you go to the table with that, you do not have the leverage in this position. You have fucked up time and time again and have made your franchise look like an embarrassment. One of those moves with Magic stepping down was out of their control, but it makes the Lakers look bad the way that all of that went down. Yeah, sure. Dude, you know you're not going to get an argument. You're not going to get an argument from me. You know that. But that being said, considering the current state of the franchise, you did not have the leverage to fuck around with something like this. You're going to end up with who is perceived to be and who is your third choice for this job or worse. And the Lakers were not in a position to screw around. So say you offer that, hey, we want to revisit it after three, and he says no. You're the one who gives in.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree that, yes, if the Lakers prefer one route and Ty Lue prefers another route, then you go the Lue route because the Lakers don't have any other options. That's the situation they put themselves in.
Yeah.
But to me, the overriding concern here is I don't know what kind of resources the Lakers are working with, right? Because the Buss family doesn't have the pockets that Ballmer has. They don't have the other sources of income that Cuban even does, right? And you know, if the Lakers are concerned that dipping too far into the red in order to reinvest back into their franchise affects the bottom line for the Buss siblings themselves, well, then that's when the Lakers and the entire fan base is just outright screwed.
But the Lakers, are profitable, right? It's not like Steve Ballmer made his money with, you know, Microsoft and Tillman Fertitta with the Rockets has a bunch of money. Most NBA owners come from a different background than the Lakers owners do. But we haven't heard any reports of the Lakers struggling for money. No. They're either the most profitable or the second most profitable in the NBA. And these are investments, Anthony, right? Like, these are not expenses that you do not get something back from. If you get a Bob Myers or a Masai Ujiri, well, you know, I keep saying these names, but one of the established guys, and you have to pay him, say, $10 million a year when a guy like Myers is making five-ish in Golden State.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you get a guy that helps you field a really good team, and then from there,
that team drives revenue.
You have playoff game revenue. You've got better merch sales. You've got, like, the whole economy of the Lakers. He pays for himself and then some. So if the Lakers were not, you don't have to go into any of the shareholders' checks or anything like that to be able to invest. And these are cheap investments, man. Like, what, KCP made, what, $12 million last year?
Yeah.
Would you trade Bob Myers for freaking KCP or someone of that ilk? Yep. Like, hell yeah, you do in a second, right? And so if the Lakers were not profitable and this was something where teams are like, you know, where, you know, reports are like, they, you know, they can't afford this coach. We're the friggin' Lakers, man. We can afford coaches. We can spend the best money to get the best coach, the best president of basketball ops, general manager, training staff, medical staff, all of that. It's going to run you, what, $25 million, $30 million in total?
Yeah.
And then, and that protects your investments in terms of the players. You get better players, you take better care of them with the medical staff. To me, it's an expense, but it's an expense that makes money back. So I can't get behind the thought that, hey, they're struggling for resources, even if they don't come from the same type of money that other owners do.
Yeah, I completely agree. But we're talking about one of the most short-sighted front offices and ownership groups that I've ever seen. Right. So like, yeah, those are all logical points. Those are the logical things to point to, but I don't know what these guys, I have no idea what to get to. Last thing before we get out of here, Stephen A. Smith, which always take his quote unquote reporting with a grain of salt, was out there saying, right before one of the, I think he's in Golden State. I think he's in Oakland for the game between Golden State and Houston. And he was out there saying that basically Jeannie Buss has advisors close to her who are telling her to trade LeBron James, right? Which, yeah. I think you and I probably both agree we know who that is.
Right, yeah, that's Rambit. That's the Rambi, right?
Rambis are saying that's a position, that's even more of the power vacuum we might have open to ourselves.
Unbelievable, man.
Which I don't like, that's little fingers, like conspiracy theories aside, whatever, right? That's when we get into trusting Stephen A. Smith's reporting. To me, sure. What I think is the more fruitful conversation here is, at what point does LeBron actually just outright demand a trade?
Because that's the thing, is like, people whispering into Jeannie's ears is one thing, but yeah, how would you feel if you're LeBron James right now?
There was already that report like a couple weeks ago that Dave McMenamin was out there saying that there's growing distrust amongst the Lakers because of the way Magic.
Of course there is.
Yeah, and then on top of that, he goes on the shop and he says the same thing, right? He echoes that same kind of sentiment that, like, I would have preferred Magic just call me on the phone and tell me to kiss his ass than the way that he left, right? And so... Even because McMenamin did kind of walk some of that back, and he said it was his own speculating and his own analysis of the situation, which, you know, you and I didn't totally buy all that much. But the reason we didn't buy it was because it was so sensical. It made so much sense that LeBron is
upset. Of course you feel that way
if you're LeBron. And then after all of that, dude, after all that, they go out and they piss off the guy that he wanted to be his coach. One of the few coaches that he actually respects. They go out and drag him through the mud this way before he's even – without even hiring him.
It would have been better if Lou wasn't even on the candidate list than for it to go the way that it did.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if you're LeBron and you're in the twilight of your career, of course you're thinking about that, right? Like, he can do the whole, like, oh, I just work here stuff all he wants. Sure. But you know, like, he came here not for this.
No.
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
That's the
thing. Like, we've talked about it before, and it's like, nah, Lakers aren't trading LeBron. Yeah. We have entered – I could see a scenario where that happens, where either LeBron asks for it or whatever the hell is going on in the Lakers front office. And again, it's not a matter of like they didn't get Ty Lue. It's how it went about and how it fits into everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if LeBron wanted to be like, yo, my clock is ticking, I don't want to be a part of this, I would totally understand.
Under any other circumstances, too, he wouldn't have the public support that he will if he does it right now, right?
Sure.
Like if let's say at the end of this last season and Magic Johnson doesn't resign, the Lakers strike out in free agency and LeBron says, all right, I'm out, I don't want to do this, right?
Right.
Then it's, oh, nice. If the situation isn't absolutely perfect,
sure,
then
sure,
you're cool with that. Then you're cool with being a Laker, whatever. But in this situation, Magic, in my opinion, offends him, right? Mm-hmm. I would imagine he felt offended personally by the way that Magic just peaced out. They go out and they drag Ty Lue through the mud for a while now, by the way. This hasn't been like a brand new thing. This has been going on for a minute.
Well, and the offer too, right? The 3 years, $18 million, like,
and they lowball him.
Almost everybody gets a 5-year deal, yeah, right? Like,
at
so
least
this is
four,
right? This is outside of NBA norms.
Yeah.
So you basically insult the guy by doing what you did, along with lowballing him.
Yeah. And so you know, if the Lakers strike out now, right? I think he kind of has to make a trade demand, I think, before free agency,
right?
Because then that public opinion does sway a little bit. But if he goes to the Lakers right now, if he goes to Jeannie Buss and he says, you know what, I only have maybe 3 years left of outright prime left, And after that, it's the decline. I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't even know if I want to be around here for that decline, right? These could be the last few years of my NBA career.
They are. I mean, they are.
Yeah. And so if he goes to Genie, if he goes to the Rambai, if he goes to Polinka, and he says, you know what, guys, this, whatever the hell it is, I'm out. I'm washing my hands of it. I wouldn't blame him at all. And you know, that's the low point. That's the low point that the Lakers hit there. That's the one that you and I have been looking at. That's the doomsday scenario that makes us think, okay, maybe this thing's got so bad that they have to, some kind of change has to happen. But it could happen. It was wild to me that it's crazy to me that we're even having this conversation. We shouldn't be having this conversation. Right. It's crazy.
No, it's absolutely. I mean, and I've learned to stop saying, "Oh, we've hit rock bottom, and things can't get worse."
Rock bottom's
right?
Way up there.
Yeah, man. What the hell happened to our Lakers, man?
Oh well, we know what happened to our Lakers. Jerry Buss died.
Yeah,
I mean, it really comes down to that. And it's really sad. It's really a bummer.
So there's a scene, if I can do a quick Thrones thing at the end here, in the most recent episode. So skip ahead if you did not watch it.
Spoiler alert if you are not up to date.
And this will just take 30 seconds or so. There's a scene where Bronn talks about how, and he's holding a crossbow, right? Yeah. And he talks about how all of these great houses and noble families were all started by some cutthroat who mm-hmm. killed enough people. You know, you kill some people, they make you a lord. You kill more people, they make you a king, yep. right? And like, that was Dr. Buss. And then at the end of it, the punchline to that is like, and then their idiot children ruin what they built. Right.
Yeah.
y'all can figure out where I'm going with that.
I thought for a second, like for a wild half a second, you were calling the Rambai the cutthroats.
The Rambai. No, they're not good enough to be cutthroats.
That's
like, we got Varys's and Littlefingers, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Who, and by the way, Varys, like, he's part of the reason why a couple dragons aren't here anymore. Anyway, we got to get out of here before the Lakers go out and hire Jason Kidd. And then we have to record a brand new podcast for that. So I'm going to call it right now.
You shut your fucking mouth, Anthony.
Turn this shit off, hurry. Sell the team. Oh, sell the team. Sell the team. Sell the team. Sell the team. There will be an answer. Sell the team. Oh, sell the team. Sell the team. Sell the team. Sell the team. Whisper words of wisdom. Sell the team.